Now we've got to preview round 8 in the NRL. Joining us as she does each and every Thursday from Fox League, Yvonne Sampson. How are you this morning?
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Going very well. Now, Brisbane.
Just listening to that Zimbabwe loss, I just had a quick Google. It said Australia have been humiliated by Zimbabwe in the most shambolic performance of the Darren Lehman era.
Hey, Vonnie, you know what he's done this morning too? He's blamed the selectors.
No, I haven't. I take full accountability.
Well, hang on,
and
you just said you didn't get the team you wanted.
I said this. I said it was the first time and probably the last time in my captaincy that I actually opened my mouth in a press conference about the selection of a player.
Yeah, and you wanted a player and they didn't support you.
Listen, as you know, when you are in charge of a team, a business, whatever it is, you don't always get your own way, Laurie. But as a leader, it doesn't matter.
As the Australian captain, you were denied Stephen Smith. So therefore, they went against you, Michael
Clarke.
Don't
even think about it. That's a story.
That's the story today, Vonnie, in the paper.
Vonnie, continue. So nice to hear your voice. Every Thursday, I look forward to you being on our show, Vonnie.
Vonnie, there's been only one bigger spat this week than the Clarke Daily spat here this morning, and that is Anthony Seibold and Wayne Bennett. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been another wild week for the Broncos, and the Courier Mail are doing this three-part feature on the culture crisis destroying the Brisbane Broncos, this once very proud club. Now, Paul White had to come out and defend Anthony Seibold's appointment, despite some calling it a sham. He is the former Dally M coach of the year. It's going from bad to worse for them up there, just the ferociousness of the criticism. I just can't imagine what it's been like. I mean, I used to cover the Broncos beat when I worked for Channel 9 up in Brisbane. And, you know, when it's a one-team town, it can be very difficult to do your job and to have those press conferences. And that was when Wayne Bennett was involved. And, like, we know when Wayne is in a mood, it's like dark storm clouds. And, you know, you feel like all the happiness has been sucked out of everything because he's got such an incredible aura around him that he really has that potential to make it so grim. And, yeah, for him to now focus on the Broncos, break his 18-month silence and have a bit of a dig at the club that he gave so much success to. It's really, really ugly and it's really public.
Well, it's an important game for the Broncos then this weekend because I know they've been under the pump, but I can only imagine if they don't beat the Warriors this weekend and there's no Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and we know what the Warriors are going through, all hell could break loose.
Well, do you feel like it's careers on the line, this game, against the Warriors for Anthony Milford, for Darius Boyd, and potentially for Anthony Seibold? Do you feel like it's got that magnitude of it?
That's what it sounds like, Vonnie. Yeah. It sounds like something like that could tip everyone over the edge, and then they're all scrambling around trying to look after their own positions. And then you'll start to see some fractures occurring. And already, you know, there's talk about you know, the Broncos, well, it was going to be 2 years before we fixed the problem that we had here. And you go, well, hang on. No, when you look at that squad that he inherited, that was a team there that was, you know, should be playing finals football. And they were the ones that decided to move on some of the more senior players. And the hierarchy were the ones that decided to invest in this youth policy because they thought that was the way forward. And now they're backtracking on that as such. So yeah, there's mixed messages and there's a bit of confusion in what they're trying to tell people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, once they let players like Andrew McCulloch go and Josh Maguire and realise what they'd lost and they didn't have enough to cover it. So, you know, the blowtorch is on the entire squad. And I know that we always say Anthony Milford, but Alex Glenn's had to come out and say, look, yes, as the highest paid player there, do we need more from Milf? Absolutely. Can he do it all on his own? No, he needs the other guys around him. But it sort of seems like we were talking about, you know, Anthony Milford and Ben Hunt, you know, when they weren't really going well. And then it was Anthony Milford, Cody Nikorima. Now it's Anthony Milford, Brodie Croft. You know, Milford seems to be that common thread through, you know, some underwhelming performances. And not to really hammer down on him, but, yeah, you definitely need to see him take on the line, run the ball, do something, because the Broncos just look so stale and they look, you know, reluctant to do anything or change it up. And they're just serving up the same thing week after week, and it's absolutely not good enough. Five straight losses in a row. I know some of the other clubs in the NRL would, you know, they've been starved of success for much longer than the Broncos, but this is just a town and a supporter base that do not tolerate five losses in a row. So I don't know how they're going to change it up, but they need to immediately.
Vonnie, can I ask, where are the senior players in this whole conversation and the results of the Broncos? And, you know, the one player that stands out for me, because unfortunately, whether he likes it or not, he's stuck somewhere in the middle because of his relationship with Wayne Bennett and now his new coach. He has captained the Broncos in Darius Boyd. Where is he in and around these conversations to getting Brisbane back to where they belong?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And you've got to say he's really nowhere to be found, which is disappointing in the sense. And, you know, he is one of the most experienced players out there. He knows the history of this club. He knows what it takes to be a winner. He's a phenomenal player in his own right, in every level of representation, rugby league. But it's, you're just not seeing anything from Darius, from our perspective, out on the field. So what is the point in having those leaders, those seniors, that experience, if it's not having the knock-on effect or it's not having a positive influence? So, yeah, it's a really good question. I think that's one that a lot of people have sort of said, well, where is Darius in all this? Who is that voice in the playing group?
All right, we go from north to south, Canberra. John Bateman situation. The Raiders have told him that he's no longer required at the end of the season. I think they've handled it brilliantly. What about from John Bateman's side? How has the management and John Bateman handled this situation?
Yeah, it's super ugly and super clunky, don't you think? I mean, John Bateman was the darling of the NRL last year. We loved him. We thought, you know, he's a great prospect. You know, he could have a long career in the NRL. We love how he's playing his rugby league under Ricky. And you can understand why Ricky's pretty frustrated. I mean, they offered him a great deal. And Don Ferner was very forthright in saying, look, we love him. We want you to stay. Here's the money. And then you get player managers come in. And Ricky's been really vocal about the manipulation and some of the underhanded tactics that go on at NRL level from player managers. And he feels like John Bateman's been swept up and promised things that, you know, the Raiders can't deliver. So, you know, they can't keep a bloke who potentially thinks he could earn $1 million somewhere else, which is crazy money. But look, we're hearing that he's been linked to Wigan on a $2 million four-year deal. We know he's got family back home, but I just feel like the way that this has all gone down has been pretty unprofessional, given that John, you know, jumped onto Twitter and, you know, used the poo emoji and it all just got really sort of childish and you know, that's not the way the Raiders like to do things. So, yeah, I think for John Bateman, for this to all sort of be swirling around and another distraction for Ricky, really, when he's got to focus on getting the Raiders attack humming along. They've lost three of their last four. So, yeah, look, you can understand that they said, look, we're not going to keep you here against your will. If you want to go and you've got a better offer, then, you know, go with our blessing. But, yeah, I feel like John could have handled this a lot better.
We see Benji Marshall. Most people thought that Benji would be, you know, in that team, again, the West Tigers outfit, but he continues to be overlooked by Michael Maguire. He has been linked to a couple of other clubs on a loan deal or perhaps go and finish his career with another club. And Benji said, no, he's not going to do that. What's the future hold for Benji, do you think?
Yeah, I hope it's not the last we've sort of seen of Benj, because he was the first to say, look, defensively, my games weren't up to scratch. But he's 18th man again for a third week in a row. And as you mentioned, Loz, like he said, look, I'm not interested in going to another club. I don't know where this has all come from. He's very committed to the West Tigers. I still feel like Benji's got a lot to offer, don't you?
Yeah, I think his opening couple of games were terrific, and he had that one poor performance and he was dropped. And then since then, the Tigers have actually played consistently and he's found it hard to get back in to the side. I think Benji's still got great value to add to a side and the side that I look at. And he was there a couple of years ago and they said he was past his best. But for me, looking at it now, you think, geez, wouldn't the Broncos do with a Benji Marshall at this point in time?
Well, he was there. Do you remember? He said he fell back in love with rugby league, and it was, you know, a rejuvenation in many ways for Benji at the Broncos. So, look, I know, what is he now, 35-ish?
Yeah, he'd be around that. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think he's fantastic. I like his leadership. I like him in and around the playing group. Josh Reynolds has been fantastic. He brings all that energy and, you know, that sort of X factor stuff that you expect from Josh. But, yeah, I just think for a club legend like Benji Marshall, you wouldn't want to see him just sort of fade out in a different club for the rest of the season. I think he probably deserves a little bit more.